This week on the Healthcare Experience Matters podcast, we're joined by Healthcare Experience Foundation coach Kathy Boswell for a discussion about emotional intelligence to promote inclusive healthcare leadership. Kathy will be a featured instructor at the upcoming spring cohort of our Foundations in Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion certificate program from the Healthcare Experience Foundation, taking place April 25th and April 26th. You can also join our summer cohort in August. There will be more information on this certificate program in the link of today's podcast episode.
So when we look at emotional intelligence, there are four dimensions and competencies we want to look at. Number one, immediately, is the self-awareness, looking at our own selves. The second thing is, though, in this personal competency realm, the self-awareness and the self-management. It means if I become self-aware of me, I can better manage my interactions and I have more emotional self-control. I can become more adaptable when I walk into a room, when I'm in a conversation. I can have a positive outlook on things when I enter in, whereas other things might have made me uncomfortable. That's another thing I love. So discomfort is that flag of, you know what? I need to be aware that my biases may be rising. So here it is in this personal competence of self-awareness and self-management. That's the me. Then we can move into that social competence, because now that I have been able to learn, expand my knowledge, not necessarily become competent, but become culturally humble and understand cultural humility, now it will influence me being socially aware to be able to demonstrate empathy, both with people and within my organization. And then it's going to allow me to really influence the relationship management side, to where I am now more conscious about how I deal with the conflict, build the team, and inspire through leadership. So as I develop me, that means myself, I look inside, but then that outside view and understanding and growing allows me to take that knowledge and to become more of an ally to those around me and to my organization. So why do we want emotional intelligence in healthcare, and why is it so important? One is that it is going to allow us to be able to improve communication skills. It helps us retain the best of the best in people. It helps us reduce that malpractice risk. It helps us create a stronger patient experience, growing referrals because of the interactions. People see that difference. Yeah, we may be different, but I'm respected. I'm valued. I matter when I go into that space. And it builds that trust in that patient relationship. So the EQ component on to further talk about impacting DE&I, my self-awareness helps me understand those biases. Our words plant seeds for how other people will think. Understand that your words are often setting up and framing and perpetuating biases, but it also is contributing to the lens of how people will see other people. And our biases, just because it's our issue, we need to be more mindful not to make it someone else's. That felt good to just say that. That was so much fun. Okay, y'all, here we go. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about this personal competence. Self-awareness, the ability to recognize and understand your moods, your emotions, motives, as well as their effect on others. Now, why this is so important with self-awareness is because it really influences our self-confidence. It helps us when we can become self-aware. It also helps us to have a very realistic self-assessment. It helps us recognize our own biases, and it helps us begin to develop cultural humility. But we can't become competent on understanding every culture and world. We can't. But how we enter into working and serving with people, cultural humility is that. It's how we enter into it. And it's not so much about what we expect from other people. It's what we know we've set the expectation to give. And that is when you talk about emotional intelligence. So much of it has to start with the individual. Our eyes can see things, but unless that person says what they feel, we are just assuming. The key is we all may see it, but we all may not interpret the same way. So why does this matter? Because there are common misperceptions about our own self-awareness that how we see it is how the way it is, okay? Based on this research from Mastering Civility from Christine Parath, there's an 80% gap. Most people feel that they consider themselves very much self-aware. But are they actually? No, 80%. There's a big 80% gap. We're 95% say, yeah, I am. In actuality, it's only probably about 15%. Because what happens is people think that it's normal. It's other people who have the problem. Or, you know, most people feel the way that I do. This was an aha I had the other day. Was, you know, when people say, I've talked to some people about this, I think our question should start being, well, how many? Because sometimes we assume people, when we say everybody, well, I talked to so many people, that so many may only be two, or it could be that conversation you had with yourself, which was only one. So in other words, you might not be telling the truth. So most people feel this way. What is it based on? Sometimes we say, well, my way is the best way to do it. Because we've been successful with it over there, it doesn't mean that the same variables exist over here, right? So that it's going to work. But the way people act is how they need to be treated by others, really? Again, these misperceptions, or there is an ideal communication style. Like I do this with everybody because that keeps me consistent. It's about you being consistent. It's not about you understanding the other side. So sometimes the misperceptions is when we think we're doing things to be consistent, what we're really saying is, I don't feel like adjusting. I don't feel like changing. So this is the way that I'm going to do it. And everybody else just needs to like it. That's a bias, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So again, sometimes we've got to look at how we respond to understand our own misperceptions. So that's self-awareness. Let's talk about self-management. Another part of the personal competence is the ability to control or redirect disruptive impulses and moods. Self-management. So the impact of good self-management and developing self-management is that trustworthiness and integrity can be developed. It mitigates implicit and explicit biases. There's more comfort with ambiguity. You don't get discomfortable because you don't understand everything. Also, it creates open-mindedness and you can manage your motive. It helps you to pause, go into this other side, think about it and ask yourself, what will happen based on what I do? So you pause. What will happen? Be mindful, as you all are doing now. Being a part of this to develop heightened awareness of your biases, learn to identify your emotions, know who or what pushes your buttons. That's big when you go into a meeting. Like if you know it's somebody you necessarily don't like, come on, go into it and realize, you know what? My bias may be influencing this because of something they said in the past, which brings me to a point I need to mention before I forget is sometimes the past is your bias. A past interaction can be your bias and you've never let it go or never talked to the person about what happened. So I wanted to just be sure to mention that even when you know what pushes your button, sometimes it's the past that has been unresolved and been misperceived. FYI. Look for the learning, no matter what situation it is, what can you learn and take away, and seek ways to promote equity and reduce power differentials. One good strategy on power differentials is to remember people can have a title and still have no respect. So just always remember that. You can have VP on your card, CEO, whatever. It doesn't mean people respect you. So while you sitting there really happy about it, you have no credibility. What is it worth? So the whole power thing is look at ways to really create common ground and common comfort, even by removing titles sometimes when we walk into spaces. Okay, so that's self-management. Now let's move into, once you get you right, that personal competence, guess what happens? Now that I've looked at me and learned so much about 175 biases, now that I have let go of the past, wow, now when I walk into my staff meetings, I am much more conscious now outwardly. So now with my social awareness is heightened, all because I've heightened my personal awareness. And this is where social awareness, the ability to understand the emotional makeup of people. Now that I've really seen my own emotional makeup, I have a better understanding that, whoa, everybody has this. How can I go in much more humble, much more compassionate? Is because now I'm listening more. So the ability to understand other people have their emotional makeup too. Then there's a skill in treating people according to a heightened more awareness of that emotion. So it allows me to be more empathetic, cross-culturally sensitive, and understand patients and team needs and foster inclusion. Again, your personal confidence, it influences how you will respond to things socially. Also, when we talk about social competence, is about relationship management. And that is the proficiency in managing relationships and building inclusivity within our networks. It's the ability to find common ground. I love the two words, common ground. The impact this has is it's so effective in leading change. It builds collaboration. You really have more of an opportunity to have inclusive and equitable involvement and expertise. It builds your expertise in leading teams. So here are some tips for leaders when we talk about relationship management and DE&I leadership tips. Understand all cultures are different. So what may seem like it expresses the same emotion that you have to others, it may not. So avoid assuming. Don't assume that the expression is that expression. You have to understand it. One of the other things we want you to do is to be able to demonstrate, ensure that individuals feel comfortable expressing their ideas without fear. That last point, getting to know the person and letting others know you as a person. If you get nothing else on here, get that one. Let me briefly tell you why this is important. When you got hired to match a job description. They hired you because they needed you to feel a role to achieve those responsibilities. But let me tell you what your organizations don't know is you're a goldmine. They really haven't paid all your past experience and all of the things that you like. They haven't paid them a whole lot of attention. And so therefore, they're missing all of the capabilities that you have. So at the end of the day, get to know the person and let them get to know you. But the deal is that y'all, you rock. So get to know others and help them get to know you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Healthcare Experience Matters. Healthcare Experience Matters is brought to you by the Healthcare Experience Foundation. To learn more, please visit healthcareexperience.org.